I'd like to call a July 12th meeting of the Arizona State Board of Optometry to order at 9 a.m. And we have the roll call.
Dr. Kasagis?
Here.
Dr. Peller?
Here.
Dr. Moffitt?
Here.
Dr. Lamb?
Here.
Dr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Ivanoff, noted absent. Mona Baskin?
Present.
Margaret Whalen?
Present.
Paula Hollins is here.
Thank you very much. President's report. Thank you all for joining another telephonic meeting. And hopefully we'll get a few more applicants through the process. I'd also like to say that we're working on the getting some training from our assistant. What are you? An assistant
attorney general.
Sorry, EG. That it's going to be a training on legislative, discipline, and regulatory information to help us do our jobs. We went through one a few years ago. We're supposed to do it, so we'd like to wait until we get the new board members onto the board with the two we already have, and that training ASAP, but more than likely not next month or the next meeting, because we have a lot on the agenda next month. So I just thought I'd lay that out to let you know that that was coming. So moving on,
okay.
I'd like to go to item D, review discussion of possible action on investigative reviews complaints. Item one, Michael Sellers, OD, IR number 201907. Someone like to summarize that.
I'm pulling it up, but I could summarize it here in just a moment. So there was a complaint by patient DE. He had seen Dr. Sellers, it looks like 3 years in a row. At the final year, 2017, he had been charged for a contact lens fit and management fee, but his insurance at that point had changed to Medicare. It looks like he had VSP before that. And at that visit, he was charged for the contact lens and, fit and management fee of $248. He didn't pay that fee, so he had a balance from that. He requested his contact lens prescription at a later date and was denied. He also had concerns about the fact that he was charged more than Medicare allowed, in his words. And that Dr. Sellers had not corrected his problem point. Dr. Sellers' response was that Medicare doesn't pay for contact lens fit or management, and that that's an allowable charge. And also that the patient only filed the board complaint when he had been sent to collections from Dr. Sellers.
Thank you very much. In order to get a discussion, is there a motion someone would like to bring up so we can start discussing what we want to do here?
Dr. Kasagis, this is Mona Baskin.
You
can have some board discussion. You don't need to have a motion.
Okay.
At this point.
Good. I do have a question. I don't have a problem with a lot of the complaints, but I do have a question for you, Mona, and that one is, because you're retired and say you have no access to medical records, does that mean that you have no, we can't get the records, or you shouldn't defend yourself in this case just because you're retired?
No, he would have an obligation to maintain them.
And I would agree to where he said, well, I'm retired, so I don't have access to the records anymore. Well, I didn't think that was defensible.
Right. That is correct, yeah. Dr. Kasagis.
Okay, and I also have another question that takes us back to our contact lens problems we were going through for the last few years. I was also under the impression that even if the patient has a balance, you need to give them that RX.
That's correct.
Ms.
Whalen, that's what I thought.
Would you like to comment on that also?
Yes.
In this case, he didn't, and he was required to under the law.
Right. That's right. Because I thought that even if they owed you money, you had to give it. But again, it's a moot point because the RX would have been expired anyway, you know, because it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, they're still required to release it.
Yeah, but well, exactly. That was my point. And so I just wanted to bring those 2 points up.
Mr. President.
What if the patient didn't return? You know, maybe you put him in lab with that patient.
That wasn't the reason given, though. I mean, if the patient didn't return, you'd say, we can't release this prescription because you never came back for follow-ups. The reason they didn't give the prescription, they said, was because he had a balance.
Mr. President, would you please inquire, Dr. Sellers or the patient, are they online?
The patient is.
Okay.
Dennis Eggerman. And well, they received the prescription while it was still valid. And the balance they are alleging that was owed was for contact lens management fee. And I did not have contact lenses through Dr. Sellers for 2 years.
Well, I can clarify that point to you a little bit if you'd like. A contact lens management fee isn't necessarily for purchasing contacts or being fitted. It's at the doctor's discretion, but like whenever a person comes in wearing contacts, you do a different exam to assess the health of the eye, if the contact lens is causing any problems. There's just more things you do with a contact lens patient to where we all basically charge more for a contact lens patient than we do for an exam on a regular patient just because of the work that's involved there. And we have no control over what is charged there. And to be honest, Medicare doesn't either because that's not a covered expense. So as far as that is concerned, that is something that is between the patient and the doctor because that's a contact lens related expense. And anyone else can join in if they have anything else to say about that.
My question is, did he get a prescription at the time of the exam or no?
No.
Did you go through fitting of new contact lenses at the time?
No.
No, it looked like it was just a regular exam.
Right.
But he still had, but there's still a contact lens exam fee.
Mr. President, members of the board, I would encourage you to think about moving this to informal interview rather than having further discussion because you'll have the same discussion at the informal, but we really do need the records to determine what Dr. Sellers.
That's what I was going to bring up. That's what I was going to bring up, and that because we also have the pressure issue. So that's why I asked if being retired expunges you from needing to defend yourself or have records.
Absolutely not.
Because
it does not.
Ultimately, we need to look at the pressure issue along with the contact lens related stuff and the not releasing the prescription.
Well, someone asked Dr. Custodian of the records.
Yeah.
I mean, the records have to be maintained for 7 years.
Did he sell the practice to somebody?
This is Dr. Moffitt, and I practice in Tucson, and so I can tell you that yes, he did, and there is someone currently practicing at his old office location.
Okay, that's...
Well, yeah.
Well, he didn't notify
he sold
the board.
The
board hasn't been notified that he no longer has the records, so...
Well, I make a motion to informal interview.
Okay. And Dr. Peller, we would need to know what violations you would like to be citing in addition to... the facts within the investigative record.
Are you
changing, Mark?
No. The records have to be maintained, and obviously they are through the new owner of his practice, but he still has access to them.
Exactly.
Margaret, can you get the records by subpoena?
Yes, I can.
Why don't you do that to start?
Well, we shouldn't have to. I'd say give him the option of doing it.
Dr. Kasagas,
pardon?
We have a motion
yes.
To move this to informal. So maybe we can get that hammered down.
I know we have a motion to move it to informative, but don't we also need to have reasons for doing that?
Correct. We need to have citations. And as far as subpoenaing the records and getting all that, that we can develop that record, and maybe we can go ahead and do that.
Right. I mean, but we might not have to do that anyway. Once he gets this, he may supply him himself. We don't have to subpoena him is all I'm saying right now.
Correct.
But as far as going back into, I guess I could use staff's help on this, but basically shouldn't the motion be something along the lines of number one, not reporting a change in the management of the records, number one. Number two would be not releasing the prescription or whatever we want to, whatever that falls under. There was a third one I was thinking.
Was it overcharging for exams or fees or improper charging?
No.
No.
That we can't, I mean.
There's nothing saying what they could charge.
Yeah, you can charge anything you want. I mean, that's why I said there's nothing. The fees, that Medicare has nothing to do with contact lenses. And so you could charge $500 for a contact lens exam if you want.
Patient's
not going to pay it, but you could do that if you wanted to, and Medicare doesn't care.
Okay, this is all great discussion, but we have a part of a motion. So, Dr. Peller, do you want to maybe withdraw your motion to have further discussion, and then we could have a motion with more clarity regarding what are going to be the legal allegations that are going to support the informal?
Sure. I withdraw my motion about...
All right. Perfect. Then let's continue with this great discussion.
Well, technically, there never was a motion.
I don't understand. So if we don't have the records, how do we even know the patient got a contact lens exam? And so that's why I think we would need the record. Because the patient said he couldn't get a contact lens exam, but, you know, he's being charged for it.
That's the whole idea. We're just trying to come up with verbiage as to what he might have, what violations he might have had.
Right.
But you have to have something in there that shows why we're doing this.
Correct.
And so it's either, number one, we don't have the record, so we need the records. That's why we're going to an informal interview. And we're just trying to come up with a reason why.
Well, failure to maintain records, if you want that.
Mr. President, members of the board, instead of moving to informal interview, you can just continue this complaint, ask staff to obtain the records, and have the discussion at the in-person meeting in September or August or whenever we're going to do that.
That's my recommendation, but I'm off the board now, so I'd get the records, review them, and then, make a complaint based on that.
That would be, Dr. Krasilogas, this is Mona Baskin. That would be a legal option to subpoena the records, to also maybe send correspondence to Dr. Sellers regarding facilitating release of the records, and then the board would be able to consider this at its next meeting, and then you'll have more information to make a decision whether you want to move it to informal or how you want to move the case.
Does that require a motion?
Do we need a motion to do that?
Move it.
Wait, let her answer the question. Do we need a motion, or can we just direct staff to do that?
Either way is fine.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Dr. Lamb moves that we subpoena the records.
All right, and also send a letter to Dr. Sellers.
I second.
Okay, now we can discuss it.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you running the meeting. But is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of. I'd like to call a voice vote for the for this motion. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
And I vote aye. It's unanimous. We'll staff to get the records and any other information Dr. Sellers wants to send us. And we will purchase that.
Do we need to explain that to the patient online?
I was just going to say, what is the noise?
I don't know who's on the side.
Basically what we've done is we want to see the records from Dr. Sellers, so we will be reviewing this again at either our August or September meeting, depending on how it works into the schedule. Staff will be in touch with you to let you know what we're doing so that you can listen in and respond as you see fit, okay?
I understand. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you. I'm off my thing here. Item E, review, discussion, and possible action on pending regular license applications. Ms. Hollins.
Mr. President,
how are you?
I have this broken up into three sections. Which one do you want first? I have...
whatever you want.
Item number three you can take separately. Then I have item number two... item number two, which would be contingent
upon DPS FBI.
A negative DPS FBI report. Then I have item 4 through 20, which is complete.
You want to make that one first? To accept items or candidates 4 through 20 for licensure.
Second.
Do we have a second? Any discussion on the motion? Okay, we will vote. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Yes.
Dr. Jones?
Dr. Jones, where'd you go?
Hi, I'm here. I did have a discussion on, going backwards, on Dr. Chang or Dr. Chang, for some reason under her...
Stop. Dr. Jones, we're only doing items 4 through 20 right now.
Right. Oh,
okay.
She's in there. She's number 7.
But that's
part of it. Go ahead.
But that is one of them.
She's number 7.
Okay.
Just when you review her application, the submission for the fingerprint card is not on there. For the submission date.
Okay, hold on one second. Paula's checking
it. We have it now. It is complete.
Okay.
It came back negative.
Okay.
It wasn't at the time we uploaded the board materials, Dr. Jones. I apologize for that, but she is complete now, Paula said.
That's the only one I saw, but so
Thank you very much for that.
Okay, so let's re-roll call.
Can you start over the roll call, please, Mr. President?
I can do that. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye, sorry.
It's okay, and I vote aye, so it's a unanimous 20. Let's go back to number two, which is basically a contingent on, so we need a motion for that.
Okay, I move we accept two contingent upon DPS report being favorable.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any discussion? We'll do a roll call vote. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Yes.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I vote aye. It's unanimous. Number three, Dr. Arora. What were your comments, Ms. Hollins? Did you have some comments before we...
Mr. President, members of the board, this is Margaret Whalen. I believe that the applicant is present along with her counsel.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is Flynn Carey and Dr. Arora. We are both present on the line as well if there's any questions or discussion.
I don't personally have any questions. I thought the explanation was complete. The question I have of the assistant AG is, if we approve this, I should say, do we have to acknowledge in some way, shape, or form that we noted that in the record and took it under advisement and did that, or is it just acceptance and you don't worry about it?
That would be this is Mona Baskin. That would be the board's discussion and decision. You could put a discussion in the minutes.
Okay. All right, just to know that we at least looked at that. Okay, so is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept Dr. Aurora as licensed for Arizona licensure.
I second that. This is Dr. Jones.
Okay, motion and a second. A discussion? The only thing I'd like to add in discussion is that we did have the with counsel, there was an explanation we'll just say an occurrence in the past, and we saw that, and we viewed it as something that was okay for us to prove.
Okay.
So, hearing no more discussion, I'd like to call a roll for this. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I also vote aye. It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item F, review discussion of possible action on pending endorsement application. Ms. Hollins.
Mr. President, item number 21 will be contingent upon receiving a negative DPS FBI report.
Okay. Do I have a motion, please?
Go ahead. I had a question also about their applications.
Yes, please.
Can we do one at a time? And when that person comes up, she can ask the question under discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we accept
number 22 for licensure in the state of Arizona.
Second.
A motion and a second. Discussion?
So I had a question. It was the 120-hour course study of verification. It looked like it was required, but it was unmarked. And so I was just going to ask about that.
For Dr. Lyston?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1 second. Paula's checking on it.
Paula, checking. La, 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 la.
Mr. President, members of the board, it is included. It says the University of Missouri St. Louis College of Optometry provided him 625 hours of transcript quality of at least 120 hours in pharmacology and 12 hours of pharmacologic principles. So he meets the requirement.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Okay, roll call. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Motion passes unanimously. We have a motion for number 21.
What do we need for 21 again?
Oh, go ahead.
Negative fingerprint report.
Was that a motion?
Oh. that is a motion. Pending negative fingerprint reports, I make a motion to accept Dr. Kollerich for licensure.
Continue.
I could second that.
And there's a second. Any discussion?
Is that contingent
Dr. Moffitt,
upon? Dr. Peller, yes. Ms. Baskin was asking that was contingent upon negative DPS FBI report.
Yeah, that was the first thing that I said.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Dr. Moffitt,
this is Dr. Moffitt. I did. It's the 120-hour course of study verification form looked like it was missing.
1 second, please. So we do have that, Mr. President, members of the board. The Illinois College of Optometry verified 250 hours of transcript quality didactic education. So he meets the requirement.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I also vote aye. Unanimous. Item G, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of testing center for proctoring of jurisprudence exam. ASU Lake Havasu Testing Center. Does that, Margaret, does that meet the requirements of what we want?
I believe it does, Mr. President, members of the board.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testing center.
Accept this as a testing site.
Second.
Thank you. I think we have 3 seconds on that one.
But I think Dr. Jones got in first.
Any discussion? Pardon?
I think Dr. Jones got in first on that second.
I do too. And any discussion on this? Okay, we'll vote on this. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Unanimous. Item H, review, discussion, and possible action on adoption of an Arizona Auditor General related agency policy for board member per diem compensation and expense reimbursement. Hopefully you read the proposal and what this, I'll say mine under discussion. Do we have to vote on this?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, let me give you a little bit of background. This is a result of an audit done by the Auditor General's office a year ago. They audited all of the financials for all the state agencies, and they had some concern over board member pay, not just for our board, but all of the regulatory boards. And so they require that each agency create a policy just for clarity, really, so that board members are aware of how they're going to be paid, what constitutes a day of work, what constitutes travel, how it falls within the guidelines of the ADOA travel policy. So I was specifically requested by the Auditor General's office to have the board approve just a small policy clarifying that. So that's what this is. So I submitted it as a draft for the board to review. You know, I made some definitions, of course, of day and preparation, because we didn't have those before. So if the board's agreement,
I think it's great.
Then you can vote to accept it, and I'll submit it to the Auditor General's office to meet the requirement. It's not driven by DOA, so I don't think I need DOA approval. But, you know, if the Auditor General's office rejects it for some reason, I'll let you know.
Is it basically a raise also? I mean, the $30 is probably more than we get right now, is it?
That's in statute.
What should we get?
That's in statute, yeah. So that won't be changing anytime soon. That's in the general statutes.
Okay.
Right. Hey, I want to be paid for Zoom meeting.
Pardon, Dr. Lamb?
I want to be paid for these phone meetings. They're harder to do than coming down there.
Well, you are entitled to that.
I just move on.
So do we have a motion to accept the proposal?
Dr. Chrysaitis? This is Mona Baskin. May I make a comment? Just to give you a little bit more background information, there was a report written in 2017, written based on fiscal year 2016. And what it does, it's actually a very detailed and very, very well-written and clear report that addresses the issue and requires that the state agencies clarify, and they did delineate, which is just a point of interest, that boards have different ways of addressing this, and it's driven by statute. So there's not one general statute. Your statute does not have a pay per diem based on meeting, but there was a minority of statute of boards that did have that limit. Yours is a little broader, and it's not limited by meeting. In that report, and that's the report that Margaret reviewed to develop this policy, they give very clear directives on some of the issues that they're looking for. And so they did ask that all state agencies take a look and come up with a policy. So that's as a way of background information.
Okay. Thank you. So is there a motion?
I make a motion to accept the policy.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Okay.
Second.
I'll second. Oh, there you go, Dr. Ma.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second under discussion. I'd like to declare this our last telephonic meeting of the year. I doubt it. Any other discussion? Okay, let's have a roll call on this. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Yes.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I also vote aye. Passes unanimously. Item I, review discussion of possible approval of a board meeting minutes.
Any questions or corrections on the minutes that you saw?
I'd like to make a motion to accept all three as written.
I would second.
Second.
Any discussion on that? Okay, we'll vote on that. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I also vote aye. Unanimous. Jay, always the highlight. Executive Director's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Unfortunately, I do not have a budget report today because the month end of June and also the year end, the fiscal year end, which ended June 30th, has not been prepared or released by the Central Services Bureau. So I will definitely have an update on that at the next board meeting. Are there any future agenda items that you would like to see on the next board meeting?
Yeah, who's replacing me? You know?
No. But I will report on appointments. Future board meeting dates? I'm sorry, Dr. Peller.
I didn't hear what you just said.
I said that...
I said, who's replacing us?
Dr. Lamb, hold on. I said that he hasn't been replaced, and I will report on that at the next meeting. I'll get with the governor's office and see where they're at with our reappointments and appointments to the board.
Okay.
How many board positions are up for replacement? Is it just the one?
No, we have three. It's Dr. Peller, Dr. Lamb. Actually, Mr. Evanoff has expired also, and the other public member position that's been vacant. So we really have four.
I see.
Yeah.
Hey, Margaret.
Yes,
is George okay?
I don't have any information, Dr. Lamb, but I'll find out and get back to you.
I was kind of worried when you said he was expired.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that the way it came out. The term is expired, not the person. Thank you. That's for the public record. The term is expired, not Mr. Evanoff.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Future board meeting dates. I was looking at our next meeting being on Friday, September 13th. I did hear the board comment
Friday the 13th
that they didn't want any more teleconference meetings, but I would hope that you would entertain one just for applications sometime in August, because I think Ms. Hollins has another 6 to 8 applications that came ready like yesterday.
Let them wait.
No.
That would be fine.
Thank you, Dr. Peller.
Yeah, I mean, no, it'll be another telephonic meeting. We just need to do it just because these people need to move on with their lives.
Well, I'm happy to meet in person. I just thought it was easier, but if you all don't like it, I'm perfectly fine.
No. Okay. I was just kidding because you said we weren't getting paid for it. Not that we ever got paid for telephonic meetings, so it's not a big deal. I was just, again, using my humor. But telephonic meetings for this, they go fast. They're easy because we're just doing applications. Obviously, in September, we have a lot of other bigger things on the agenda. So just let us know when you want to do it, and we'll get it done.
Okay. Dr. Moffitt, Dr. Jones, you're okay with that as well?
I didn't hear the date, Margaret. For an August meeting, are you still talking about the 9th?
No, the August meeting
didn't give
will
us a date.
I have the applications ready enough to go.
So that okay. one's always so September random. the 13th is fine. Yep, I have that on my calendar already.
Okay, that one is set. That's our regular meeting date. That's a Friday. It's 9 a.m. here at the board offices. So that's our regular meeting. I was just commenting the August meeting will just be a quick 10 to 15 minute, either lunchtime or, you know, how we do like on a Wednesday or something like that, just to approve the applications.
Yeah, so it won't necessarily be the 9th, or the, you know, the 2nd Friday, but Margaret, just try and get as many in there as you can, just
correct,
so that way we make it as useful as we can.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Prasagas. So okay, if everyone's okay, so tentative August, up a definite September 13th.
Okay.
And that concludes my report, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Call to the public.
Adjourned?
We need to call the public first, Dr. Peller.
Call to the public.
Oh, sorry.
Is there any
nobody is present
comments
on,
from the public?
Nobody's present here at the board offices.
Hearing none, I will. I would like to hear a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
There we go. And no discussion on that. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
You don't have to vote on them.
All Dr. Right. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
And I also vote aye. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your time, and we'll probably talk again in August.
Thank you.
Thanks, you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.